So let's turn here this morning to Luke chapter 6 for our scripture reading here this morning. I am going to read verses 37 through 42 from the Gospel of Luke, the third book of the New Testament. Luke 6, 37 through 42. And I hear pages turning. That's always a good sound. If you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting with verse number 37. And these are the words of Jesus. He says this: do not judge, or you, excuse me, let me start over. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable: can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We'll stop there, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, today we talk about specks and logs and planks and sawdust and all kinds of things and what's happening in our eyes and in the eyes of others. So, Father, what's the lesson we need to learn today? Father, this morning I'm going to expound on this scripture. May your scripture speak plainly to us this morning. May new truths be revealed. May changes be made in us if any changes need to be made. As always, I hide behind the cross and you get the glory. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. This is our 19th week as we journey through the New Testament. And I have titled today's message, Specks and Logs. And different Bible translations may use different terms to talk about those things that we find in our eyes. But the NASB calls them specks and logs, so that's what I went with. But I wanted to start off this morning by showing you a meme. Does everybody know what I'm talking about when I say a meme? M-E-M-E. A meme are those things that you see on Facebook. They look like that. That is a meme, okay? When you see things, this like little picture type thing, that is a meme, a M-E-M-E. And I saw this meme this past week, and I said, you know, I'm going to preach on this because I found this in Luke chapter 6. And the meme says this: who am I to judge another when I myself walk imperfectly? Okay, that was the meme that I saw. It was posted by a friend of mine, a Christian friend of mine. No, it's not somebody from this church, somebody from another church. But I saw this and I said, I need to talk about this. This is the cry of many in our society today. Who am I to judge another when I myself walk imperfectly? One thing wrong about that meme is this: should end in a question mark. That is a question. Okay? But I see it and I hear it said quite often. We can kind of boil that down to two words and a little bit of finger pointing. Don't what? Don't judge. Don't judge. And I like that. So I'm going to do that a lot today. Don't judge. Okay, don't judge. So today we're going to be talking about judging. Specifically, judging the words and the actions of other people and ourselves. The questions we're going to answer today are this. Is it right to judge other people? If not, then why do we do so? But if it is right to judge others, what is the correct way that we should be doing that? Webster defines the word judge, and you'll find that on the inside of your bulletin, the top right-hand corner, where I always put a definition of a word. It defines the word judge as to form an opinion about, through careful weighing of evidence and testing of premises. Okay, I'm going to explain that definition as we go through this message here this morning. In our judicial system that we have here in the United States of America, we have judges, we have men and women who are in the position to do just that. They are in the position to judge other people. When a person is accused of a crime of some sort, they are brought before the judge who first tests the premises. Test the premise. What does that mean? That means, what does the law say about the matter, about the issue? What is the law? What is right and what is wrong? So the judge has to test the premise. And then the judge weighs the evidence. I think we all understand this part. What are the facts about the accused? What did he or she do? What do we know for sure that the accused has done? So based on these findings, a judgment is made by the judge and the jury. I am not surprised when an unbeliever distorts the biblical practice of judging. Okay? When an unbeliever distorts the biblical practice of judging. For instance, I have a very strong personal conviction concerning those who have abortions out of convenience. Okay? Abortions out of convenience, which are probably about 99% of all abortions. And when I see such posts on Facebook concerning the abortion issue, I just can't be quiet. I have to open my mouth and I have to write something, because that's just what I got to do. But when I do, quite often I am told not to judge those who make the abortion choice. And I'm told not to judge by individuals that I know are not Christians. And they're going to come back at me. I don't see the waving finger, but they come back at me with this. And they'll say this directly to me. Who am I to judge their actions? That's always going to be their accusations towards me. And I expect that. I really do. I expect that. But to argue, listen now, but to argue with such people, biblically, to argue with unbelievers about biblical issues is a waste of time. I am told by Jesus not to throw my pearls before the swine. Not my choice of words, Jesus' choice of words. Don't throw what you know about this in front of people who don't know this. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Why? Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 tells us that the unbeliever, if we do, the unbeliever will trample biblical truths under their feet and they will tear us to pieces. What does that mean? That means this. The truth is, they do not care. Unbelievers do not care about God. Okay? They don't. They don't care about His Word, and they probably don't care about us as believers. They don't. They will say and they will do anything to avoid being accountable to a higher power. And that's the bottom line. They don't want to be accountable to a higher power. They want to be accountable to their own belief system. So what does the Bible say, what does the Bible teach me and you about unbelievers and judgment? Well, I'll start with 1 Corinthians 2:14, and it says this, but the natural man, and when it says natural man, that means the unbeliever, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. And Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, confirms this or affirms this, and it tells us this. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh, which is what the unbeliever is going to think, the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, our first fill in the blank. We've got several fill in the blanks here this morning. So let's take those two verses and let's fill in what we need. An unbeliever cannot understand or even live by biblical principles. Therefore, a believer should not judge an unbeliever by biblical principles. And those are the scripture verses that I just read to you. So an unbeliever cannot understand. They don't understand this because this is spiritually discerned and they do not have the Holy Spirit. They don't understand what this word says. So I'm going to get to the next fill in the blank because this furthers my explanation. The next fill in the blank says this. God will judge those outside the church. 1 Corinthians 5:13 tells us this, that God will judge those outside the church. Who's outside the church? The unbelievers, okay? Unbelievers are outside the church. So he's actually making our job easy for us. Should we judge unbelievers? No, God will judge unbelievers. So let's leave the judgment to him. And his judgment is always, always, always going to be perfect each and every time. Well, Mike, does that mean that we should not say anything at all to unbelievers about their sinful situations? No, not really. We are commanded by the Word of God to do what, though, with unbelievers? What do we share with unbelievers? The gospel message. That is what we share. We share the gospel with them. And part of the gospel message is letting people know that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Part of the gospel message is telling them about Jesus. But we can't tell them that they need Jesus because we also have to tell them why they need Jesus. They need Jesus because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's as far as really that we need to take it. So by saying what I've said here so far, including that meme that I had up there, I've taken the first couple minutes of this message to preach to myself, okay? If anybody needs to heed what I just said, it's me, because I'm the one who can get carried away with trying to judge unbelievers. Sometimes preachers do preach to themselves, okay? And this was one of those moments. When I come upon an unbeliever who disagrees with me on a biblical principle, I just need to let it go. Just let it go. Instead of wasting my time arguing with these people and spending all that time writing all these Facebook posts, I should be praying for them that the Holy Spirit changes their mind and their attitude and falls upon their hearts. That is the Christian approach of a believer towards an unbeliever. So let's shift gears here a little bit. On the other hand, I find it almost inconceivable that many Christians today know little to nothing about the biblical practice of judging. But there is one. Not only am I told by unbelievers on Facebook that I need to quit judging, but quite often I am told by believers on Facebook that I should not judge. So, am I right to judge the words and the actions of another Christian? Well, the simple answer to that is, oh yes, we are. And we should judge those things. So, don't take my word for it. Let's look to see what the Bible says here in Luke chapter 6. And then we're going to look at a few other passages concerning judgment of our brothers and sisters in Christ. First, if you still have your Bible open to Luke chapter 6, in verse 37, Luke uses three words to begin this section on judgment. He talks about judging, he talks about condemning, and he talks about pardoning or forgiving, depending on what word your Bible uses. And he ends in verse 38 by saying the measure that we use will be the measure that will be used back to us in return. But you know, if that is all we ever read, if we didn't read anything else, we would find ourselves never judging, we would find ourselves never condemning, and we would find ourselves always forgiving. But we are students of Scripture interpretation, are we not? And we know two rules of Scripture interpretation. One, we're going to use the 20-20 rule. 20 verses before, 20 verses after. Let's look to see what the whole context says. And we know rule number two. Scripture interprets what? Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. So does this passage say any more about judgment? And is there anything else in the Word of God that speaks about judgment? And the answer to both those questions is yes and yes. If we move to verses 41 through 43, Jesus starts talking about specks and logs and how we addressed these specks and logs, which are faults or sins, when found in the eyes of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also when they are found where? Right here in our own eyes. So he's going to address both, how we look at them when they're in our eyes and how we look at them when they're in the eyes of others. Should believers judge other believers? The answer to that is yes, we should. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 11 and 12 tells us this. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are we not to judge those inside the church? Very quick. Our third fill in the blank. Yes, believers are to judge those inside the church. If a person claims to be in the church, if they claim to be a believer, they claim to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then we are within biblical guidelines and even biblical commands to judge that person. Scripture interprets Scripture. So we go to 1 Peter 4:17. Where does judgment begin? Judgment begins at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17 says this, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" So, if judgment begins at the house of God, what is the house of God? Us. Who's the house of God? It's us. It's the church. It's the body of believers. It's everyone who says that they are in Christ. It's all of us. So, judgment needs to begin here with us judging each other. So, how does that happen? Okay, if we've been given the green light that I can judge somebody else, or somebody else can judge me because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, is there a biblical procedure? Of course, we have to go to the next fill in the blank. Yes, our judgment must be based on God's word. We get that from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which says this, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow." Excuse me. "It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Okay? Our judgment is based on God's word. We must agree that if we're going to judge somebody, it cannot be based upon my opinion, it cannot be based upon your opinion, and it cannot be based upon anybody's opinion. Judgment must be based on one thing, and that's this, on the word of God. What does the word of God say about the issue that we're confronted with? Because this is the only authoritative truth that we have. So judgment has to begin here, and it begins with this. Very simple. So let's finish this up by talking about specks and logs. We haven't even talked about specks and logs yet. We have one more fill in the blank, I believe, and we're going to fill that out. You probably know what those two words are. One begins with the letter H, the other one is O, and it says this. Our judgment of others, if we're going to do this, if I'm going to judge you or if you're going to judge me or we're going to judge each other for whatever the issue is, our judgment of others must never be hypocritical. We must judge ourselves before we judge someone else. And that's what Jesus is saying about specks and logs. Why? Because Jesus does not want us to be hypocrites about the judgments that we make upon other people. So I'm going to give you just a theoretical example. Let's say this. Let's say John Doe is a guy in our congregation. And I know because John Doe has told me, poor John Doe, he's really caught up in internet pornography, okay? The guy admits it. We know he's in it. Many people actually know that he's caught up. What did I do? Many people, did I do that? Here we go. Gee, I'm hitting the wrong buttons here, folks. All right. Put that down. John Doe is caught up in internet pornography. What if I'm also caught up in internet pornography? Would it be right for me to judge him and going up to John Doe and give him one of these numbers, put my finger in his face and say, John Doe, I know you're caught up in this stuff and you need to quit this stuff right now. You're a poor example. You're a sinful man. You could be contagious. We don't want you doing this because you're part of our church. When all along, I know what? I'm doing it myself. And what Jesus is saying here is this, very simple. I think we all understand the principle. I got a log in my eye, and the log in my eye is the same log that's in John Doe's eye. And Jesus is saying, Mike, take it out before you go to judge that brother or sister in Christ for whatever their failure may be. So I need to examine myself first and look at myself before I can judge somebody else for something that I'm doing myself. I can't speak to him about that because I'm doing it myself. So I think we all understand that. So I'm going to get back to this. I'm going to get back to that meme because I want to finish by talking about this. Who am I to judge another when I walk imperfectly? Do we walk imperfectly? Yes. Yes, we do. We walk imperfectly. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Even though we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we will still go out there today and tomorrow and this week, and we will still make mistakes and do sinful things. But I'm going to make the analogy between judging our brothers and sisters in Christ with a very familiar situation. Do imperfect parents correct their imperfect children? Of course they do. Of course they do. Gail and I did, and we knew that we were not perfect. And I'll bet you did too. I bet you in your imperfectness, I don't know if that's a word or not, but it is this morning, corrected your imperfect children. We judged our children every day as they were growing up. Why did we do this? We corrected them. We taught them right from wrong because we wanted our children to learn what the right thing to do was. And shame on parents if they fail to do that. Many children have gone astray because parents have failed to judge their children. example, last night, if there is one thing that just irritates both of us, it's when we go to a restaurant to dine and have some quiet time. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? I see the head shaking. A nice meal, we've worked hard all day, and now we just want to sit down and relax. But there's the table back there that has the two kids who are running around everywhere, and they're shouting, and they're screaming, and the parents are doing what? Nothing. 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 Boy, did I want to judge those kids last night, running around everywhere. And you know, you can't enjoy your meal, can you? You can't enjoy yourself when you're out doing something, when somebody else's kids are misbehaving. Parents, please, if anybody's listening to this on the internet, judge your children and do it with righteous judgment. Why? Because we want our kids to grow up doing the right thing. Amen? Of course we do. Of course we do. Of course we do. What's that? And do it in love. That's coming up here. It's coming up here. But in a way, this meme here, it really bothers me. And let me tell you why. If you read this, it seems to take us off the hook of judging the sins of other believers. But if we don't, then who will? Then who will? If my brothers and sisters sitting right here, or my brothers and sisters out there, if they don't correct me when I'm doing wrong, then who will? And if I'm not corrected, what am I going to do? I'm going to keep on doing it. Just like the uncorrected kids last night, the parents never said anything, and they just kept on shouting and screaming and running around. And we wonder why the church today is impotent. At least I wonder why the church today is impotent. Because what we're talking about here, this is never taught. This is never taught in so many churches. It's like false teachers. Somebody asked me this question one time, and I do this quite often. Mike, how can I spot a false teacher? A false teacher are people, preachers, who never preach about false teachers. How can you tell a false teacher? They're the ones that never preach and teach about false teachers. What churches never judge? Churches that never teach about judging. It's really that simple. We got to preach about judgment inside the church because we are actually commanded to do so. But what has happened? Here's the answer. The church in general, not Beech Grove Church and not many other churches, but the church in general, instead of modeling what this says, has started modeling what the world has said, what society has said. And they want to become politically correct. And now they're afraid to offend anybody. Well, I can't tell him or her that he or she's doing the wrong thing. I might offend them. Folks, let me tell you this. This word is offensive. Amen? It is offensive. It is offensive. And it is foolishness to those who are perishing. Sin, when left unchecked in a church, becomes contagious. It does. And the church is to remain as pure as it can possibly remain. And 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 tells us this. You know how to end this. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Leavens the whole batch. Leavens it all. You let a little bit in, and before you know it, it becomes contagious. So, what's our lesson? What did we learn this morning? Do not be afraid to judge those inside the church. But don't forget to take the log or even the speck out of your own eye before you try to take that log or speck out of your brother or sister's eye. And we are to judge with what, Gail? With love. We are to judge with gentleness, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We want to restore our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we want to help them get past their sin. So we don't do that by shaking our finger in their face, and we don't do that by shaking this and hitting them over the head with this. We do it by opening our arms and welcoming them and tell them, hey, I'm concerned about you. I love you, but let me share something with you. That's how we do it. So, who am I to judge another when I myself walk imperfectly? Question mark. Answer. If you're a true believer and you are a child of God who has been commanded by the Word of God to do this, to judge. That's our job. But we only do it once the logs and the specks have been taken out of our eyes. And when we do it in love. Let's pray.